are listening to SBS.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS News.
In part one of this two-part series, SBS looked at how Yakandanda, a small town in northern Victoria, has taken control of its energy. One community building benefiting from the renewable project in Yakandanda is the local retirement village. Taking us to see their recently installed battery is Blake Edwards.
So, Blake Edwards, current president of Totally Renewable Yakandanda.
Raised in Albury, Blake studied aerospace engineering in Melbourne before deciding to settle in Yak.
Really, I'm more technical motivated, and at the moment that's the application of like all this cool tech that I need to be careful not to just be... You don't want to just be advocating for tech for the sake of cool tech. To me, it's like, wow, this is this... huge opportunity where a lot of this tech, when applied right, ends up converting to quality of life, saving on your bills, thriving rural communities.
For a community of around 2,000 people, he says up to $12 million can be spent each year on fuel.
Geez, if a community that small could even just retain a couple of million from that pool and just keep it recirculating locally, that's massive. Yeah. Like, imagine what we could do with that.
At the local retirement village, Blake says some residents were avoiding using electricity, sometimes going cold just to save on their energy bills. To better understand their situation, he says tribe volunteers sat down with residents one-on-one to figure out how better energy systems could be tailored to their needs.
We ended up speaking with the majority of them, and that might have been sitting down for half an hour. In some cases it was a few hours, like a few cups of tea to talk about any comfort issues that they have. So not just going in hell-bent on thinking we need to save them on their bills or we know what they need, but just asking, are they comfortable, are they warm, do they have any sort of energy-related equipment or maintenance issues? And that process of just going through one by one was absolutely just fantastic.
Regardless of their interest in climate action, people are increasingly pessimistic about the impact they can make when governments and big corporations lack the ambition to make meaningful change. For many, though, the switch is not about climate ambition. It's about survival.
I guess communities like us, we're just doing this because we have to, because if we don't kind of get control of some of these assets and go in and help these households and give the advice as needed now, it's not really an option to wait a few years, because all of a sudden you'll look back and there'll be all these externally owned assets everywhere. Like, it's a bit of a land grab with these kind of, you know, community batteries and these public assets. There's a land grab going on at the moment, and you know, if we don't do it, or if we don't butt in and try and have a say, it's going to be too late for a lot of sites and a lot of suburbs and whatnot.
Recent polling shows that regional opposition to renewables is far less common than people think. Yakandanda sits in the federal electorate of Indi, currently represented by independent Helen Haynes. Without engagement, Dr. Haynes says regional communities cannot be expected to blindly welcome major projects.
These are communities who want fair warning, fair process, and fair intergenerational community benefit. Their demands for meaningful engagement should not be contorted into blanket opposition, because there is support. Recent polling shows strong support for the transition to renewable energy across regional Victoria, Queensland, and New South Wales.
In a March 2026 survey of around 2,000 people living in designated regional renewable energy zones in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, 63% of people supported the renewable transition. However, 33% believed that the majority of people in their area did not support the transition, showing a significant gap between real and perceived support.
My advice to any of those communities is that it's a huge opportunity. Like, there's always, in many cases, some enormous upsides to be found, and most of that's financial. These companies are absolutely pouring funding into these communities. So I would just encourage these communities to first ask what's in it for us and really fight for themselves and really get to the bottom of, you know, okay, XYZ company, what are you going to do for us? If we, you know, we're not going to love having wind turbines on the horizon, you know, clearly you are going to have to make it worth our while. And in many cases, it seems there's an enormous amount of funding available. So that could completely transform some communities.
As well as funding from the petrol station and grants from the Victorian government, Totally Renewable Yarkandandah has received funding from a group called Rewiring Australia. After spending 2 decades in the United States, where he helped write the country's biggest climate policy, Rewiring Australia founder Saul Griffith returned to Australia, where he's leading a similar electrification project in his own area around Wollongong.
What we've learned so far, actually, is that this is kind of a big cultural and social project. So people don't trust the internet a lot, they don't trust the government a lot, but they do trust their neighbours. And so the fact that neighbours are showing neighbours how to save money and save the planet at the same time is sort of the secret sauce. And, you know, we're also learning what the little difficulties are about certain types of houses that are a little more expensive to retrofit, et cetera, et cetera, how to streamline the local tradies so that they know how to do the work and they know how to do it well. What we're learning is less technical than we might have expected, although it's leading to a few technical projects, and it's more social, cultural, and sort of about how people take action and how people make change.
The Northern Territory is considered one of the best places in Australia, if not the world, to build solar projects.
So I'm Chantel Johns. I'm the community coordinator based here in Mullinger for Original Power.
In Mullinger, like a lot of regional Indigenous communities in the Northern Territory, power is not supplied through a traditional energy grid.
So the community here, like all other communities, got put on mandated prepaid meters. Now we have the smart meter. So essentially you're buying prepaid power, similar to like a phone credit type of situation. You go to the local shop, you purchase your power and you come back on and it's on your meter. Now with that comes a lot of disconnections because we're on the end of a feeder line from Elliot. So it's not that reliable.
Depending on the season, some families in Mullinger were paying up to $200 a week on electricity.
We would experience major disconnections all the time, just from the line, but also for people running out of money to put on their meters. And when the community in itself, the whole community would black out, it also caused the water as well. So it wasn't just a power thing, it was a power and water issue. And because of that, we had plenty of times where we would disconnect power for days, which also meant water would be off, all sorts of things. And by being on the end of its 25-kilometre line, anything could disrupt that line, from birds or bats or, you know, whatever.
But in around 2019, the community decided to take action and invited the community-focused Aboriginal organisation Original Power to help them find a solution. It took years of back and forth with retailers and the housing department and the Northern Land Council.
We don't want to ruin country. We want something that's going to be here for ages, that's going to benefit everybody, and so what that looks like. So we started all of that with Original Power's help and guidance through everything. And yeah, what was should have been 6 months to 12 months sort of thing was about 5 years by breaking down, yeah, all those barriers.
Then in 2024, Mullinger became home to Australia's first First Nations-owned solar microgrid. Residents there now save up to 70% on energy, and Chantel says the work isn't done yet.
From the project, we're now going into energy efficiency. So we've just completed 65 split system aircon installs throughout all the homes here in Mullinger, with more to come. So it's not just initially saving money on power, but it's also opened up this world of, you know, being able to upskill for jobs and all this sort of stuff. And because it's a community-owned project, we need a community-run like entity to take on that ownership.
With similar projects now underway in other communities, Chantelle says keeping community at the heart of it is vital for success.
If it's not community-led, I say to other companies, good luck, you know, trying to get this stuff done, because you don't know who you need to talk to, where you got to go, you know, all that sort of stuff. But when it's come from community, it's from the people that own that area already, you know, so you already got the interest, you've got the right people, and it really just is smooth sailing.
Places like Mullinger and Yakandanda are unique, but they're not alone. With renewable communities popping up all across the country and the world, Matt Charles Jones says that adaptation requires creativity and understanding what it is that a community needs to thrive.
We're under no illusion that that's going to be the same in every other town. And there are a sequence of totally renewable towns across Australia. We've not set out to kind of brand that or claim ownership of that at all. There are well over 100 towns across Australia focused on the questions of renewable energy as a community, and each community will have different resolutions to what they need to do.
Rooftop by rooftop, community by community. Russell Close says every change made is a valuable step.
And just by getting little people like myself to do this sort of thing and sort of try and spread it a bit, and maybe a friend of mine or sell one to someone and someone else goes for a drive in it and they think, oh, these aren't so bad. You know, it might sort of help spread the word. This will not fix the world, but it is a stepping stone. And that's why I do it.
Sydney Lang, SBS News.
Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.